Welcome to the Establishing Shots podcast, a new filmmaking podcast for filmmakers. I'm Nick Hilton, and each week I'm going to be guiding you through the world of the British independent film industry. We're going to be speaking to actors, writers, directors, all the normal people you expect to hear front and center talking about their films. But we're also going to be talking to VFX artists, makeup artists, and then people from the business world behind the scenes, marketing, critics, festival programmers. And that's where we're starting this week, with Chloe Traynor, who is the associate director of the Open City Documentary Festival. I spoke to Chloe right in the middle of the festival hall, and as you'll be able to hear, there's a sort of clock ticking in my brain as harassed ushers try to encourage us to wrap up. But hopefully we'll get some insights into the submission process and how you can make it more likely that your film will succeed. So we're here at the Open City Doc Fest and
Documentary Festival.
You're not going by Doc, because obviously for your competitor, your natural competitor is Sheffield.
Yes.
We're here in a sort of, not a broom cupboard, but sort of behind, and you'll be able to hear a little bit of atmospheric noise, which is a panel warming up. I don't know what panel it is.
Yes, it's the Cinematography Roundtable.
And this is day 5 of the festival?
Day 3.
And it's, yes, a 5-day festival.
6 days in full.
I've got nothing right so far. Okay, so I'm here with Chloe Traynor, who is the associate director of the festival and has previously worked for almost every festival in this country, it seems.
Sure,
according to your,
yeah,
LinkedIn. I've got you down for BFI, Bertha Dockhouse, Overnight, which,
yes,
I hadn't heard, the Welcome Trust, and I guess that's more of a general programming role, Underwire, LGBT, London Short Film Festival. You're obviously a very experienced festival programmer. Open City Documentary Festival compare?
I mean, Open City is a festival that has been incredibly close to my heart for a number of years. I was first involved in 2013, and this is my fourth year with a few years off in the middle. It's something that I'm really passionate about is non-fiction film and non-fiction storytelling in wider forms as well. Audio documentary, virtual reality, all of those kind of things are under the umbrella of what we do. And I think what's different about Open City from my perspective is being able to really focus on the kind of craft and art of filmmaking, working really closely with the filmmakers that we're presenting their work. This year we're bringing 90% of the feature filmmakers to present their work, which is really amazing to have them all here with us. And there's just a real community at the festival of the filmmakers that are also based here in the UK. So it's a really great kind of cultural exchange, I suppose, of the international filmmakers that we're bringing with our own kind of homegrown talent, getting to talk and learn from each other.
What percentage of your programme is are British filmmakers and what percentage are international? It seems like looking at the programmes, it's quite an international lineup.
Yeah, that's true. It definitely is. I mean, this year I think we have 3 or 4 British features. We show kind of more percentage British shorts. Our programme is quite curated, so we only show 25 feature films in the whole programme. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's also, as well as supporting British talent, it's also about bringing a kind of wide, diverse range of international cinema to London as well. So that's kind of where that feeds in.
So you've got the UK short, which I guess is where your only short film selection is the UK short?
No, so we have 3 short film programmes, which are international with UK talent screening there as well. And the Best UK Short Award, all of the UK short filmmakers are nominated for that award this year. And then elsewhere in the programme, we also pair shorts with features. We have done something this year for the first time where we've asked feature filmmakers to pick a short film that influenced their work, that we're screening before their feature as well, to give the audience some contextual information. So yeah, we do a lot of stuff with short form as well.
So just talk briefly about submissions. How many submissions did you get this year? You may not have this.
Have it off the top of my head, but it was a lot of films. I think it was nearing 1,000 across features and shorts. Yeah.
Right. And your fees are quite reasonable. Your submission fees, I thought, were quite reasonable for this sort of level of event. I mean, often they're quite kind of prohibitive. But I also wondered, because I saw an interview with Oliver Wright, the head of programming here, where he said that a lot of it was from travelling around festivals and curating the content there. I wondered whether you had any idea what sort of percentage came through the submissions process. Film Freeway, I think, is your kind of portal for that, and what percentage was coming from editorial curation of the program?
In the short film program, it's a lot more from submissions. We're definitely discovering new work there. I'd say it's probably 90% submissions in the shorts. For the features, it works out about 10% maybe from submissions, which obviously, when you take into consideration the size of our feature program, as I said before, is only 25 features. But I think that's probably about the ratio for most festivals. You tend to find a kind of few few gems from submissions. Also, oftentimes people will submit a film that you're already aware of from a festival, so we don't really count that in the number. But for instance, we're screening the European premiere of Those Who Come Will Hear this year, which is a Canadian film about Indigenous languages, and that was submitted. And that's a really incredible film that we would have kind of never been aware of otherwise. So yeah, it's a really great experience when you kind of find that hidden gem in submissions.
To focus briefly on the short film selection then, because if that's more from submissions, do you do the filtration process for that? Or
so we have a shorts programmer who is called Lawrence Avis, and we also have three shorts pre-selectors. So the four of them all watch all of our submissions. Everything is watched at least twice, and then they meet every month and discuss what they've watched, basically, and feedback. And then Lawrence kind of leads, because he's kind of a full-time member of staff with us, on curating those programs, putting them together. But yeah, it's a team effort, definitely.
And if you can just channel Lawrence for a second and say, what would your advice be to short film? What are the most common areas that short filmmakers submitting through Film Freeway, rather than being picked out as special talents at festivals, what are the most common mistakes they make? Technical mistakes, submission mistakes?
So I'd say keep your synopsis short and snappy. Don't talk too much about kind of themes and putting kind of your own emotional reading of the film into it. You want, when somebody's viewing a submission, for them to just read your synopsis, understand what the story of the film is, and then go in with otherwise a clean slate. I'd say one thing to think about is that most people will be watching a lot of films back to back. So just be aware of like how your film opens, for instance. Like, have a really strong opening, because that first minute is what's really going to sell your film to somebody when they're watching that many films. And just kind of general little things, make sure that everything is up to date, make sure that you have kind of like your assets and everything on Film Freeway, so that if you do get selected, we've got access to everything that we need. Also, if there are like specific festivals that you're really keen to have your film shown at because you think it's a really good fit, like if you make a film and you think this is an Open City film, then don't be afraid to email the programmer. You can normally find the information online. Just drop them a note and say why you think your film is a good fit for their festival. Don't obviously just send a blanket BCC to all programmers, because we know what you're doing, and we can tell that it's a BCC. But I would say if you've made your film and you feel like it really has a kind of natural home somewhere, for whatever reason, then do reach out to the programmer and kind of highlight that and send them the link in the email so they can easily check the work.
Do you think that Britain has become a sort of a hub for documentary festivals? It seems like almost two of the biggest festivals in this country are documentary festivals, and the narrative festivals are maybe, I don't want to slag them off because also it's LFF and I'm, you know, hoping for my press pass, but are sort of lagging behind a little bit. It feels like DocFest and Open City Documentary Festival are doing kind of more innovative work.
Thank you, firstly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to flattery. Pointless flattery.
Yeah, I mean, I think internationally there's been a real big interest in documentary recently, and definitely in what we call creative nonfiction. In the UK, there's been it's really encouraging to see so many curators, critics, filmmakers kind of engaging with that style of work. I mean, Open City is really lucky that this is the 8th edition, and since the very beginning, we've had a lot of freedom in terms of the work that we show. So for us, it's quite funny watching the kind of trend of other people starting to become interested in this work and more actively promoting it. But it's beneficial for everybody. The more this work is being shown, the more these filmmakers are being brought to talk about their work. It all feeds into one another. And I think also it really benefits, like, the festival side of things benefits the filmmakers here in the UK, because I think obviously the UK has a very different relationship to documentary than, you know, Europe, the States, other places in the world, because our history with documentary is very much broadcast based. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really incredible to see so many festivals focusing on centering documentary in the cinema. And as you said at the beginning, I used to work as an associate programmer at Bertha Dockhouse, which is a documentary cinema. So yeah, that's something that I'm really passionate about, of like seeing those films the way that they're intended to be seen, which is in the cinema, in the dark, with the volume turned up nice and loud.
Do you think documentaries are in rude health at the moment, like as an art form? I remember I was very struck, like this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, actually. Someone went through the list of all the documentaries, got a mainstream theatrical release that year, and only one of them didn't have a certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was the Snoop Dogg Bob Marley documentary. Do you think they're actually in rude health, or do you think it's sort of the net has been lowered for documentaries because people don't apply the same critical faculties to them?
I think there is a lot of amazing work being made. I think there's a lot of great funding opportunities at the moment, a lot of creative freedom being given to people. But I do think the kind of, you're right, the critical engagement with documentary is very different to fiction film, which is a shame and is something that I talk to a lot of my writer friends about all the time. But I think, you know, it's a mixture. People are making good films. People are being exposed to more innovative, interesting work, which therefore leads to them being inspired to make that kind of work as well. So, yeah, it all feeds into one another.
I was struck recently by listening to, it was actually Jordan Peele talking about Get Out, and he said, when it was announced as a comedy in the Golden Globes, he said, no, it was a documentary. And I saw other reviews referring to Black Klansman as a documentary. Now, obviously, they're using that term very loosely, but when the word documentary becomes a synonym for allegory, and in an era where social realist films and allegorical films are so potent, does the documentary actually suffer when the ills of society are being exposed so well by films like Get Out, Black Klansman?
I don't think so. I don't believe in the very kind of strict lines between documentary and fiction. Mm-hmm. I think that I have the saying that documentaries are self-identifying, which is also how I feel about gender. If a filmmaker thinks their film is a documentary, then it is.
So you guys would have programmed Get Out. I mean, it would have been a huge coup, I guess.
I mean, yeah, we would have loved to have shown Get Out. That film is a banger. But yeah, I mean, we also, you know, we focus a lot on work that kind of plays with that grey area between fiction and documentary in the traditional senses. I mean, at the end of the day, every documentary is edited, it is authored, there are decisions that have been made, just like every fiction film. More and more documentaries have scripts these days, and I think that kind of breaking down this is kind of like a ghettoization of documentary by putting these rules and borders up about what is and what isn't, you know, non-fiction, what is and what isn't fact, because really documentary is just another art form, it's another form of storytelling, and so it can be whatever you want it to be at the end of the day.
But you must have some rules, you know, there must be a framework in place for Open City to understand what it's doing with documentary, what is a documentary, what isn't a documentary. Presumably you don't want people to come along with narrative films and just simply say it's a documentary, you know.
No,
you have to justify that tag. No,
yeah, but I don't think a filmmaker would name their like 100% fiction scripted film that is in no way like relating to the documentary form. I don't think that anybody would call their film a documentary like that. I think that we have very kind of flexible, ever-changing rules about what is a documentary, and we're kind of always open to experimenting with that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think audiences enjoy being challenged with what their preconceptions of a documentary are. So, yeah, I mean, we don't have hard and fast rules about any of that stuff, and that's kind of what makes it fun working here.
And I just when I was looking for you, I walked into a floor where suddenly everyone was wearing these Oculus headsets and, you know, sitting on their own and in complete silence. It feels like documentaries, I mean, at DocFest, I've been overwhelmed by the number of people who are trying to force me to watch VR and, you know, put headphones on and do weird stuff, which I'm, you know, uncomfortable with. Is documentary at the cutting edge? Is it kind of forced to be at the cutting edge of these things? Or is it something which you're very much voluntarily putting yourself out there for?
I mean, I think the relationship between documentary and cross-media is really interesting because there are so many different ways that you can communicate those stories to audiences. And sometimes, you know, you can do things in virtual reality that you can't do in a film, in a traditional kind of single screen film. You can do things in like a web VR a web project that you can't do, you know, with a group of people sitting in a cinema. And I think, admittedly, I was a big cynic about virtual reality. And over the past year of putting together our expanded realities program, I've seen some really incredible, innovative work that really kind of pushes that boundary of what you can do in that space. And that's what really excites me about it. And I think none of the stuff that we're showing is kind of traditional documentary in the sense. There's a big focus this year on kind of playful, experimental projects, which is exactly what we're doing with our film program as well.
Okay, the cinematography panel is filling up and we're getting the nod to wrap up. Can I just finally, from having seen all of the program this year, what are the things you're looking for next year? So our filmmakers listening, what should they be doing to kind of excite Open City in the next year?
So I think what we're really looking for is bold, original and innovative projects. We want films that make you feel something. We want films that take you on a journey and that when you leave the cinema, you feel like you've really kind of, you know, watched a movie, like you've been on a cinematic journey with these people. And that can be any kind of story. You know, we love personal films, we love political films, we love films about architecture where nobody speaks in them. Like, we're very open to all of those ideas. Just we just want people to make us feel something with their films. So that's the advice I would give.
And a podcast program next year?
Well, then we do an audio documentary program.
Audio documentary is a very fancy term for I mean, this is not an audio documentary, although it could be. Maybe I should rebrand.
I mean, podcast, radio, it's all just a dissemination method, really, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. On that bombshell, thank you, Chloe. And yeah, Open City is on until Sunday, but I imagine most people listening to this, it will have closed down, but it will be on again. And you do things through the year and they do an MA course, et cetera, et cetera.
Great. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks to Chloe Traynor and everyone at Open City Documentary Festival. You're listening now, which is great, but please consider subscribing to the Establishing Shots podcast on the Apple Store, on Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a rating review because that really helps us get up the charts and be discovered by more listeners. The show is produced by myself and presented by myself, Nick Hilt. It's a real vanity project, I'm sorry. The theme tune is by Joe Button. And for more information on sales and advertising and supporting the podcast, email nick@podopods.com. That's podots.com. And that's also our website where you can find out more about our slate of shows and what we're trying to achieve. Establishing Shots is also a meetup group and networking event. And for more details on that, follow @ShotsPod on Twitter and search Establishing Shots on Facebook. You'll find out a lot of information there. Thanks a lot. And hopefully you'll join us again next week.